This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Red Brick Media. High quality CDs, DVDs, lectures, khutbah, conferences, and Quran recitations. All revenue generated supports our da'wah work, supported by visiting our store. You can now purchase directly from our site, www.redbrickmedia.co.uk.
غرباء غرباء
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, in continuing the journey, the life of the noble individuals, as mentioned inside the Quran, wasbir kama sabara ulul azmi min ar-rusul, have patience like those committed individuals amongst the messengers. They had that deep devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a large portion of the mufassirun mentioned that ulul azm, these strongly committed anbiya or messengers, and none other than Nuh alayhi salam, and then Ibrahim, and Musa, and Isa, and Nabiyuna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. These are the five strong, devoted individuals that if we go back to read through their seerah, their lives, we find immense examples, similitudes, even at times the type of life that we're living at the moment. Because we all know there's a concept of what is known as Ayyamu Tadhiyah, days of sacrifice. And obviously these days of sacrifice, the apparent days of sacrifice that we have, Ayyamu Tashriq, the days of sacrifice during the days of Dhul-Hijjah, or the days of Nahr from the 10th to the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah. Likewise inside the shortest surah of the Qur'an, in Surah Al-Kawthar, we find فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. One here evidence establishing the prayer and offering the sacrifice. Some ulama try to go to the view that an-nahr means the area of the chest, and this is a thabut, an evidence of placing your hands upon the chest, but this is da'if, using this ayah as an evidence to place your hands upon the chest, even though this is not the position to enter into. The correct location of placing the right hand and left hand upon the chest is obviously the most strongest and authentic view. But to be just and fair to use this ayah as an evidence, there is some weakness in that interpretation. The correct interpretation is nahar, is sacrifice. So these are the days of sacrifice that the Muslim Ummah, those who are attending these blessed days, and those of us who are abstent from these blessed days, to at least offer the sacrifice if we have the means and ability to do so. Then obviously comes the days of sacrifice which concerns us, the hidden meaning of sacrifice, which obviously many of us have forgotten, that only at certain times or locations we remember our devotion, our commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, the way of the believer is continuously throughout their life, from one good action to another good action, from one struggle to another struggle. As-salatu ila as-salat, wal-jum'atu ila al-jum'ah, wa ramadan ila ramadan. Kafaratu lima baynahunna, one prayer to another prayer, one jum'ah to another jum'ah, one Ramadan to another Ramadan, is an expiation whatever takes place between the two. We are not outbursts of Muslims that only on Friday, only in Ramadan, only in Hajj. The Muslim every day is striving and struggling. Every day the believer is striving and struggling to get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. whoever strives in our paths, we will guide them to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the other hidden meaning of ayyamu tadhiyah, days of rage, days of sacrifice, days of commitment of one's wealth, property, land, family, and even if it may be the life of the individual. And that's that prime example of sacrifice after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam becomes none other than Ibrahim alayhi salam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions of him also being that uswa. Just like inside Surah Al-Ahzab, we find لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, in the conduct, in the behavior, there's something for you to emulate and copy the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day and remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frequently. But a similar verse occurs in another location inside the Quran, but on this occasion praising Ibrahim alayhi salam, as we find قَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَالَّذِينَ مَعْهُ. Indeed, in Ibrahim alayhi salam, there's a fine emulation, character and behavior for you to emulate. Just like you emulate the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, likewise for you to emulate the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. What made him become so intimate and close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, become beloved? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Ibrahim alayhi salam as a close, intimate friend. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only took two individuals as close friends. That was the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's when Abu Bakr wanted to become the Khalil, the intimate friend. He said, but you rather, you're my companion, you are not that bosom, that close friend. Because indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken me as an intimate friend. A deep, unique relationship between the Creator and these two blessed prophets, chosen and selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hatta why? We find in the Quran, wa Ibrahim alladhi waffa. Ibrahim alayhi salam, who fulfilled every single pledge. If you read through the seerah of Ibrahim alayhi salam, every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to carry out a certain action or to do something, he fulfilled it. Every single aspect, every single command. Thus you find in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, some verse 124, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. Indeed, we did test Ibrahim alayhi salam بِكَلِمَاتٍ. And here the meaning of kalimat, words, is certain awamir, certain commandments which were placed upon Ibrahim alayhi salam. فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. He completed every single commandment, every single obligation that was placed upon him, he fulfilled it. Amongst these commandments that the ulama deduced and extracted from the commandments that were placed upon Ibrahim alayhi salam is awwalan, personal commandments, aspects of tahara, aspects of purity and cleanliness. Ibrahim alayhi salam, according to the hadith of Bukhari, if I'm not mistaken, is told to circumcise himself at the age of 80 with an axe. That is a personal commandment given to him. He doesn't ask why or how is this possible. فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. He completes the commandments bestowed upon him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaving of the pubic hair, cutting the moustache short and leaving the beard to grow, the natural fitrah of a human being. As for many individuals, they think that the growing of the beard is the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is manhajul anbiya. This is the methodology of all of the anbiya, that they let their beards grow and they used to trim their moustache. Hatta the Quran talking about Musa alayhi salam in his discussion with Harun, whereby Harun complains, don't take me by my beard and don't take me by the top of my hair. All it shows in other evidences that this is the natural fitrah of a man, natural fitrah of a human being, and this is the way of all of the anbiya, and there's no difference of opinion regarding this. Likewise, clipping of the nails. And obviously here, the clipping of the nails is for both men and women. There is to be no distinction here, as some women, they may think that for them to grow their nails long is allowed. This is a natural fitrah for a man and a woman, for a woman to trim and to cut their nails. Likewise, plucking the hair from one's armpits. This is the natural tahara which was imposed upon Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he carried out these actions. Then comes his commandments given to him towards the wider society, to invite people to at-tawheed, as we're going to mention bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, to show people the manasik, the rites and regulations of hajj that he had to perform, or to show what the rest of mankind had to do. And then comes even more specific, more difficult tests, whereby he's been thrown into the fire personally. He's been told to perform the exodus, to leave his family at Mecca and to leave them there. And then comes the ultimate sacrifice of slaughtering or sacrificing his own beloved son. Until what happens? قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. Until one man becomes one imam. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see in his carrying out. وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ الَّذِي وَفَّى. Ibrahim who fulfilled every single pledge. So until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes him an imam. And thus you find, إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَانَ أُمَّةً قَانِتَ لِلَّهِ حَنِيفًا. Indeed, Ibrahim alayhi salam was one who is devout, one who is committed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hanifa, total submission and the belief in one God, in only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ شَاكِرًا لِعَنْعُمِي اجْتَبَاهُ وَهَدَاهُ إِلَى صِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمِ. He was grateful, full of gratitude. And that gratitude, his obedience, his servitude, guided him to the straight path and made him to become اجْتَبَاهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected him. Until we find millata abikum Ibrahim. Follow the millah, the way of life, the sunnah, the pattern, the methodology which has been bestowed upon your father Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is a great big privilege that the rest of this ummah, or the following ummah, and the ummah that will come after us, meaning the people that will come after us, will begin to look at this great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and begin to emulate and copy him and revive these practices that he had. Until you find that every single individual needs to come close and near to him. As the Quran mentions itself, إِنَّ أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِإِبْرَاهِيمِ لَلَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ وَهَذَا النَّبِيِّ. Indeed, the most closest of individuals to Ibrahim alayhi salam are, those individuals who emulate and copy him, and likewise this prophet. So the more that you are emulating the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are emulating Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the more closer you're coming to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the more closer you come closer to the father, obviously in the linguistic meaning of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What are the sacrifices of Abu al-Anbiya, the father of the prophets? And thus you find in the Qur'an some 73 places inside the Qur'an, some 25 different surahs, mention about Ibrahim alayhi salam in various locations, different wordings, different commitments, all to send out the message about the commitment of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Hatta we find that the 14th chapter of the Quran is entitled Surah Ibrahim, talking about the life and the sacrifice and some of the actions of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. The first sacrifice that you find is his to sacrifice his family, upbringings and teachings. Whereby he said to his father, إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِي لِمَ تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبْصِرُ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا. O my beloved father, why do you worship that cannot benefit you, that which cannot see, that which cannot hear, and in no way benefit you? Why are you worshipping these idols and worshipping these statues? And I'm sure that we're all aware that his father Azar, when Ibrahim gave advice to his father Azar, who was an idol worshipper, and even beyond that used to build and make these statues so the people may worship them and place them inside the temple. يَا أَبَتِي لَا تَعْبُدِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ كَانَ لِلرَّحْمَانِ عَصِيَّ. O my beloved father, O my respected father, don't worship the devil. Indeed, the devil is forever disobeying Ar-Rahman, disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here we find the siyaq of these ayat, that even though his father is a mushrik, he doesn't say, يَا فَاجِر, he doesn't say, يَا مُشْرِك, يَا خَبِيث, doesn't use these words. He says to him, Ya Abati, O my beloved father. Does not even use the word Ya Abi. And those of you who are familiar with the Arabic language know that this is ghayatul ihtiram, an immense love and respect and devotion to show to one's father in this sigha, in this format. So he's still calling with love and devotion, even though he can clearly visualize that his father is a mushrik, idolater, building these idols and these temples. But he still rebukes him in a mild and a concrete manner, that maybe some form of leniency may come into the heart of his father. But instead you find, قَالَ رَاغِبٌ أَنْتَ عَنْ عَالِهَةِ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. O Ibrahim, are you turning away? Are you discouraging people to stay away from these idols? So his father doesn't respond in a soft, taking the admonition. That is sunnatullahi ala al-ard. Don't think that every single individual, when you offer them advice, you give them sincere advice. وَإِنِّي لَكُمْ نَاصِحٌ أَمِينٌ. Indeed, I'm a true advisor to you. Don't think every single individual is going to take your advice. There's going to be shayateen, or not just jinni, wal ins as well. Devils amongst human beings, which are not going to be able to tolerate that sincere advice. words of truth, who will seek to corrupt your words, to change your words, to imprison you, to tarnish you, to make your life difficult. That is sunnatullahi ala al-ard. That is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this earth, which happened to many of the anbiya before. So who are we in comparison to these great anbiya? لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهِ لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ. If you don't refrain, you don't reproach yourself, you don't control yourself, then I'm going to stone you. وَهْجُرْنِ مَلِيَّ قَالَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكَ. And he said that, have you turned away from my gods, or now be gone from me forever. Leave me alone. So Ibrahim alayhi salam says to him, Salamun alayk, peace be upon you, and walks away from his father. Another location that you find, إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ مَا هَذِهِ التَّمَاثِيلُ الَّتِي أَنْتُمْ لَهَا عَاكِفُونَ. What is the matter with you? When he said to his father and his people, that what is the matter with you? What are these tamathil? What are these statues and these idols that you are devoted to? لَهَا عَاكِفُونَ. You're committed to these idols and these statues. قَالُوا وَجَدْنَا أَبَاءَنَا لَهَا عَابِدِينَ. They said that we found our forefathers worshipping these idols, so likewise we're going to do exactly the same thing. Something that we find prevalent in such society today, that this is what our forefathers used to do, we're going to do exactly the same thing. Ibrahim alayhi salam doesn't cave in with this pressure of a young boy visualizing this haram and this munkar. Rather, he decides to take some positive action or teach them a lesson. فَرَاغَ إِلَىٰ أَلِهَتِهِمْ فَقَالَ أَلَىٰ تَأْكُلُونَ. So quietly he came to the idols, and to show them as a sign of mockery towards these idols, he said to them, فَقَالَ أَلَىٰ تَأْكُلُونَ. Why don't you eat? Why don't you drink? مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَنْتِقُونَ. What is the matter with you that you don't speak? فَرَاغَ عَلَيْهِمْ ضَرْبًا بِالْيَمِينَ. Then he raised his hand and he smashed them, or he hit them, with the axe, etc. And he destroyed them. فَجَعَلَهُمْ جُذَاذًا إِلَّا كَبِيرًا لَهُمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ يَرْجِعُونَ. And he broke them all into pieces and left the big one, so that they may return back to it and see what has taken place. And we know, sure, most of us are familiar with the story, how they are confounded with shame as they enter into the temples, overwhelmed, they don't have any evidence. And rather than admitting their guilt, that we are worshipping statues and idols that don't speak, that don't talk, that don't move and cannot benefit us in any way, they became outraged. And remember, this is a sign in general of juhal individuals, ignorant individuals. Even though societies which claim to be developed and well articulated, they will try to turn the whole world upside down to prove that they are correct. And if they cannot change you, then they will begin to place the concept of force and submit you to believe in their way of life and their understanding of what they're doing. قَالُوا ابْنُوا لَهُ بُنْيَانًا فَأَلْقُوهُ فِي الْجَحِيمِ. They said, build a great big fire. Build a great big pyre for this individual. فَأَلْقُوهُ فِي الْجَحِيمِ. And then throw this individual into the jahim, the burning, into the furnace of the fire. قَالُوا حَرِّقُوهُ وَانْصُرُوا آلِهَتَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ. They said, you know what to do? حَرِّقُوهُ. Burn this individual. وَانْصُرُوا آلِهَتَكُمْ. Rescue and save your gods, in kuntum fa'ilin, if you're going to do something. So they could not tolerate when the truth was delivered to them. They could not tolerate that. They said, burn him alive, throw him into the fire and rescue your gods. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to do something else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid out a natural sunnah upon this earth. But at times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change the natural sunnah. That is all up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does whatever befits His Majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find in the Quran, وَقُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. Rather, the fire was commanded and told, the natural materialistic format of the fire is to burn. But rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the fire, كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. Become peaceful and cool upon Ibrahim alayhi salam. Some of the Mufassirun, they write in the works of Tafasir that Ibrahim mentioned that the best days of his life, or those 40 days of his life, were when he was inside the fire. Hatta you find that the fire, you read works of Tafasir, that these are the first people to build a form of the throwing of the canopy, or the throwing of the catapult, or placing him inside a catapult and throwing him into the fire. Such a huge fire that you find that even the birds that were flying over the fire would become any roasted chicken or roasted birds flying over there. That is the intense heat of the fire. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to change that format and protect and preserve this individual. وَأَرَادُوا بِهِ كَيْدًا فَجَعَلْنَاهُمُ الْأَخْسَرِينَ. They plotted and they planned upon this individual. They wanted to do this evil, but they were the losing individuals. Another location Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, فَأَرَادُ بِهِ كَيْدًا فَجَعَلْنَاهُمُ الْأَسْفَلِينَ. They wanted to plot and plan, but we made these individuals to become humiliated. Remember, the mu'min, the believer, is never humiliated in this dunya. Externally, it may seem like the person has become humiliated, or there seems to be some ضعف, there seems to be some weakness. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. They're only days that we alternate between you and them. It's always that the mu'min is always successful. عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Strange is the affair of the believer. If some difficulty comes upon him, the person, فَصَبَرَ, is patient. If some goodness comes upon him, فَشَكَرَ. That's only for the believer can understand that. A life of turmoil, a life of difficulty, the person is patient. A life of good things, of blessings, the person is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, as Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah highlighted, al-iman bayna sabri wa shukr. Iman is between patience and gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So instead, these individuals become the low and the abase in the individual. And one may think that possibly the sacrifice ends there. Maybe that's too much da'wah that he's done in his life. That he's just been thrown into the fire. Now he needs to come out the fire and maybe needs to revitalize himself and refresh his approach and take himself away from society. Kalla. That's not the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He's willing to sacrifice his life at that stage and walk straight into da'wah once again. Continues the journey when he meets the king of Namrud and he has no fear to highlight the truth to this ruler, this tyrannical individual. And thus we find at times, sometimes the truth needs to be highlighted, obviously wisdom and fair preaching. Thus you find some narrations talk about that the most truthful of speech, the best of speech is to say kalimatul haqq, the true statement in front of Sultan Jair, in front of a ruler who is tyrannical, knowing fully well that this person will execute you and take your life away. Thus the way of the people of understanding is always to deliver the message in the appropriate manner. Those individuals, الَّذِينَ يُبَلِّغُونَ رِسَالَاتِ اللَّهِ, those individuals who convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَيَخْشَوْنَهُ وَلَا يَخْشَوْنَ أَحَدًا إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا, who fear only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they fear none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient to bring any people and mankind to accountability and know what is taking place. So now he approaches this ruler, and we find in the ayat inside Surah Al-Baqarah once again, أَلَمْ تَرَى إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ أَنْ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكِ. Have you not seen the one who disputed with Ibrahim alayhi salam, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him the kingdomship, the dominionship bestowed it upon him, whereby this individual became tyrannical, he wanted to show his power by highlighting that I am the one who gives life and death. قَالَ أَنَا أُحْيِي وَأُمِيتُ. I'm the one that gives life and death. And all of us know that that is not the correct interpretation of life and death. Once again, some ulama tafasir that they mentioned, he brought two individuals out of prison and he executed one of them and he let one of them go free and he said, this is the way that I give life and death. And obviously Ibrahim alayhi salam had to use some wisdom in the way to attract this individual. And this here we learn uslubu da'wah, the way even at times to use mantiq, to use the correct logic, not the Greek logic and the facade that we find at times, but to use the appropriate logic to the rationale to diffuse certain arguments that begin to take place. So you find that Ibrahim alayhi salam said to him, فَإِنَّ اللَّهُ يَأْتِ بِشَمْسِ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ فَأْتِ بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the sun from the east, cause it to come from the west if you claim to be a creator, if you are the deity. Just like you find Fir'aun, who claimed to be, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى, I'm your almighty Lord. Likewise, he said, look at this individual, cannot even express himself, and look at the rivers which are flowing underneath my palace. And look at the strange concept. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drowned Fir'aun in that same river to teach him a lesson that when you become arrogant and you become tyrannical, we are going to persecute you with the same thing that you boast about. So Nimrud is boasting that I am a Lord, I am the deity, I am the one that gives life and death. Cause the sun to rise or change its direction, bring it from the west. فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And hear this, there's no real translation for this word, but just to give a general maybe perception, this word, it can carry the meaning of dumbfounded, gobsmacked, mouth dropped, no words to say, no response. That's the general meaning, that his mouth just dropped. What could he say? Ibrahim alayhi salam using such an asloob, there's no response that this king can say that now I can change this phenomena of changing the direction of the sun. So we find, then comes the second sacrifice.
That was just a sacrifice in the beginning of giving up the teachings of his people and highlighting what is the correct belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second now is sacrificing his country to make that hijrah. He makes that hijrah, and whereby he's gifted, and Hajar is gifted with Sarah, etc. Whereby he gives up his family now, gives up his area to go to a new location. And even then we find he's been told now when he gets to a new location to sacrifice his family. Not just to sacrifice his country now, but to leave his family, as we find inside Surah Ibrahim, رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ. Indeed, O my Lord, I've left my family in this empty, barren valley, this empty land. عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ, in your sanctified area. Remember that time there is no Kaaba there. There is no building of the Kaaba, that location. I've left them in this place. رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, O my Lord, that they may establish the prayer. فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَرَزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. Make them establish the prayer. فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. Make the mankind to have some love and devotion and some affection towards them. And likewise, وَرَزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ, and provide them with provision. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ, that they may be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you go and study this supplication of Ibrahim alayhi salam, you find something very, very strange. He is leaving his family in an empty, barren land. On a normal platform, if you study what's known as Maslow's theory, those you may have studied sociology, etc., that you find of what is the needs of the human being. The prime need of the human being is food, clothing, etc. Ibrahim alayhi salam is leaving his family in a barren land. The first thing he asks for is رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. The first thing for a mu'min, for a believer, is the spiritual needs. That's the first thing for a Muslim, for a believer. The first thing for a believer is not the dunya. Unfortunately, many of us that we think is to make sure that your family is upon salah, is upon righteous, and praying for that righteousness for your family members. Then, فَجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. Bring about some people who are going to show some affection, some love. We know the tribe of Banu Jurhum, the original tribe from Yemen, who's traveling through that area, etc., began to come to that area because of the well of Zamzam. And I'm sure that we're all familiar with the story. Then comes وَرَزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. Then provide them with the provisions, with the fruits, with the blessings. Those blessings are still there to this day. This is the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam upon those blessed people inside that area, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ, that they may become grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus you find, if I'm not mistaken, the same surah, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you're grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will increase those blessings. And if you are ungrateful, إِنَّ عَذَابِ شَدِيدٍ, indeed my punishment is severe and harsh. So these are lessons that we learn. That's why some people are blessed more and more with their wealth and the good actions that they do. Likewise, another supplication of Ibrahim alayhi salam, going to a slight tangent, if you study that dua I mentioned at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, whereby he prays, asking to send a messenger from amongst themselves. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ any ayatika, who recite your verses upon them, and likewise teach them the book and hikmah, and will purify them. These are the four things that Ibrahim alayhi salam asked for. If you go and study the response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you find something the total opposite. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَدَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُوا عَلِيمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. I'm going to send a messenger, indeed send a messenger amongst their own selves, who's going to recite the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and going to purify them. Ibrahim alayhi salam made purification, tazkiyah, the final, the fourth aspect of his dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised that fourth aspect to come to the second aspect. The large portion, the role of the Prophet Muhammad is to give tazkiyah, is to purify the people, is to teach them spirituality. Thus we find that the Prophet Muhammad is ana da'wa to Ibrahim. I am the call of Ibrahim alayhi salam. I am that response. And if you go back to the lineage, you find that no prophet comes from the lineage and from Ismail alayhi salam except for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because that is going back to the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So all these du'as that you find inside the Quran that have been mentioned by Ibrahim, likewise in the same surah you find the famous dua that I'm sure all of us offer in our prayers, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَى رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. And I'm sure that all of us make this supplication. You need to make us to establish the prayer, and likewise our progeny, to pardon and forgive our parents, etc. That all goes back to the supplication of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then comes the fourth aspect, sacrificing his son, given at the age of 86. So tasawwaru hadha, imagine the whole of this journey, the whole of these efforts and this struggle, that finally he's bestowed with a son. And this becomes the pinnacle of sacrifices of Ibrahim alayhi salam, because it becomes symbolic for the rest of this Muslim ummah. And that's you find inside the surah, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعُ السَّعِيَ, when he reached the age of sa'i. Ulama have given various interpretations what this means. Either he reached the age of becoming a youth, or the age of work, or you see your own self in your son. You see a reflection of yourself in your son. You reach that prime age, that you see yourself in your son. At that stage, you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam, as we know inside a dream, to sacrifice his son. And remember, the ru'ya al-anbiya, is in their dreams, to visualize dreams inside their sleep, is wahyun, is revelation. So whatever they see in their dreams, they have to implement it. It's not like us, what we see in our dreams, adghathul ahlam, muddle up, mixed up dreams that you find, and some people try to take them as a form of revelation, whatever it may be. There's no form of revelation for a Muslim via dreams. They could have some strange interpretation or positive interpretation, but that's for the ulama who deal in the world of dreams. But as for the anbiya, they don't dream the way that we dream. Their dreams are wahi, a revelation. So they have to carry it out. So Ibrahim alayhi salam said, قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. He says, oh my beloved son, indeed I see myself in a vision, in a dream, that I have to sacrifice you, that I am sacrificing you. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. What do you think about this? What's your opinion? What's your view about this? Do you think Ismail tells and says, Dad, are you crazy? Are you okay? Are you fine? You've just seen me after so many years. Is everything okay? Are you mentally, physically fit to utter such words? And look at the response of Ismail alayhi salam, whereby he says to his beloved father, قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ فَعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Same kalimat. He said, يَا أَبَتِي, O my beloved, respected father, كَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَانَ. The way that you believe, it comes round to you. He said to his kafir father, mushrik father, oh my father, why are you worshipping the idols? Sometime later, his son, from the same progeny, from the same loins, comes as a believer and uses exactly the same words. Oh my beloved father, do what you've been commanded to do, and you'll find me amongst the patient individuals. Some ulama tafasir that they mention that Ibrahim is hesitant to sacrifice him. So Ismail says that I will face down, then you sacrifice me. And he says, shudhya abi, cut harder, strike harder with the knife and sacrifice me. No hesitation from Ismail alayhi salam, and naturally would be some hesitation from Ibrahim being the father. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَ وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ. When they both submitted and placed down his forehead down upon the ground. وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَنْ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. We call out to Ibrahim alayhi salam, indeed you have lived true to the vision. إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجِزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. This is the way we reward the doers of good. إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْبَلَاءُ الْمُبِينَ وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. Indeed, this was a manifest trial, and this is a momentous sacrifice. This becomes the pinnacle point of being asked to sacrifice one son. Even though we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want him to sacrifice the son, but wanted to see what Ibrahim alladhi waffa, to see what is going to be the response of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Is he going to hesitate? Is he going to say, as many of us we may claim to say, وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, we hear and we obey. But rather, unfortunately, many of us say, وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَصَيْنَا, we hear and we disobey, has become unfortunately a symbolic gesture of much of this Muslim ummah, that we hear and we disobey the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we find that the sacrifice does not stop there. One may think, well, that's enough sacrifices to do. What more can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask Ibrahim alayhi salam to do? And the next sacrifice, or the next commitment, is to construct the Kaaba, to construct the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلِ. Whereby Ibrahim and Ismail are laying out the qawa'id, the pillars or the foundation of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, the call to Hajj that we find, you find that millions are answering that call. Was there anyone standing there when Ibrahim alayhi salam was told, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ, call out to mankind to come and perform the Hajj. It was a barren, empty land. He could not visualize that later millions, if not billions, have come and passed that journey in devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Majority, if not most of the rites, the monastic of Hajj, all go back to Ibrahim alayhi salam. The udhiyah, as we mentioned, the sacrifice, as-safa wal-marwa, the running or the walking between these two mountains that we love, ذَلِكَ سَعْيُ النَّاسِ بَيْنَهُمَا, that is the sa'i that we make between these two mountains, the well of Zamzam, al-jamarat, the stoning of the pillars, likewise al-Ka'ba itself, is all blessed, all goes back to the actions and the effort of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Hatta you find that maqam Ibrahim, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُسَلَّى, take the maqam of Ibrahim as a station of prayer. And Umar, he wanted that this location should be taken as a place of prayer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down this ayah inside the Quran that take the station of Ibrahim alayhi salam where his footprint is, whereby when you, after you've performed the tawaf, the circumambulation around the Kaaba, that you should go behind the maqam of Ibrahim and offer two raka'ah of prayer. And if I'm not mistaken, reading Surah Al-Kafirun in the first raka'ah and Surah Al-Ikhlas in the second. So little did he understand these sacrifices and this call that he has to make to the whole of mankind, whereby you find that people will come upon traveling upon their feet, upon every lean camel, from every deep and distant mountain will come and perform this rite. So now we can begin to understand, قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. Now we can perceive that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we are going to make you an imam for the whole of mankind. إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَانَ أُمَّةً. Ibrahim alayhi salam was an ummah, was one man, was one nation. Likewise, مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ Ibrahim. The actions of one individual become actions for the rest of this Muslim ummah until the day of judgment. So when many people think that what is the point in myself making an effort or individually doing something, yes, as a group we do become stronger. But remember, mountains are created from pebbles. Mountains are created from small stones. Every stone, every rock has a great big portion to play in the building of that mountain. Soon as you take one stone, one rock away, the mountain will eventually begin to crumble. That's what this Muslim ummah is. No one should belittle themselves. No one should think that I have no role to play. لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. Never belittle any action of goodness. Any opportunity that you have of da'wah, of khair, of anything that you can do in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the appropriate intention and following the sunnah of the Prophet, one should spread that to humanity, because we have many things that we can visualize in front of us, but still we are very laxical in our approach and our understanding in comparison to Ibrahim alayhi salam. So we find, if we go back and look at those sacrifices and compare those sacrifices to the sacrifices that we are making today. The first sacrifice we mentioned about Ibrahim alayhi salam was a sacrifice of his family, upbringings and teachings. And we can all ask ourselves a basic elementary question: to what degree have we rectified our beliefs and the people around us? Yes, there may be many that we may think who've been rectified. But the Quran mentions, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Most people believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they're mushrikun. It's a long journey, brothers. It's a very, very long journey. وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. Indeed, this is the long path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no shortcut path. Don't think that you can instantly get results. Results may come at a later stage, may come in 50 years, may come in 100 years, may come in 150 years. But the key element is that we are, inshallah, throwing those seeds of change whenever, because some trees, they flourish instantly. Some trees, they grow after many, many years. Some trees grow after centuries, and then they remain. أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٌ وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. And some of those trees go deep down, strongly into the ground, which is, as a side point, another verse which is inside Surah Ibrahim, even though this tree, parable, some ulama, as Shaykh al-Sa'di, Imam al-Sa'di, goes to the view that this is the branches of faith and the soul of Iman. But you can also have the other interpretation, that these are the behavior and the character of the Muslim, that we are trying to throw those seeds of creating a good jeel, a new generation, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, who's committed towards the obedience and the servitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and every so often it delivers its fruits by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second, we find how strongly do we believe and held fast to our beliefs at whatever expense. No one is saying that we should now be thrown into the fire. But just some glimmer, some even basic hardship, we find that people begin to crumble. People are not willing to bear the consequences. We all know what's taking place in the society around us, the banning of the niqab, any of the hardships upon certain individuals traveling in and out of this country, anybody talking about Islam. Why should we beat about the bush? Why are we always people who are apologetic, saying this is wrong, or we do have this, or we do have that, or we begin to take funding for certain causes, etc.? Any simple things. This seems to be quite clearly double standards that begin to take place. If today we said something about Hitler, if we praised Hitler, all hell would break out loose. All hell would break out loose of praising this individual of the actions that he'd done. And that was actually trialed and tested. And when it's mentioned about the Prophet Muhammad to draw pictures about him, this same organization says, well, that is a freedom of expression. Look at this. None of us agree with the views of Hitler, what he'd done, the Holocaust, etc. None of us agree with it. But if somebody praises him, they'll be totally defamed. An action will be taken against that individual. Hatta you find there's a passage of law that you could be tried for praising this individual in certain countries and denying the Holocaust. But when it comes to the Prophet Muhammad, it's all in the freedom of expression. So sometimes we need to begin to think, how apologetic are we going to become? Are we going to become so apologetic that people can insult the Prophet Muhammad in front of our faces, and we say three bags full? They can write articles about Islam, they can defame Muslims, they can defame the Quran. All comes under freedom of speech. So we need to begin to think that what consequences are we bearing to take to strengthen the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second, we find the sacrifice of one's country. Now, if we compare that sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam to our own selves, obviously we know there's a great deep discussion amongst the ulama about living in the lands of the West and the performance of hijrah. But in short, nobody can deny the fact that to perform hijrah is something good, to make the exodus, the migration, to leave a land to go to a better environment, and especially in the Muslim lands, is better than being engaged in the Western world, etc. Even though there's a great technical debate that exists. But the point being here, we're not asking people to directly sacrifice their countries, because we know that people who cannot give up their bed and their sleep, it's going to be very difficult to ask them, you need to get up and sacrifice their country, or people who live on state benefits and the welfare of the country is now going to give up, the comfort that we have given to us inside this country. Thirdly, we find the sacrifice of our families. Obviously, we know that our family members have become a hindrance for many of us, have become a fitna, as the Quran mentioned, that some of the family members becomes fitna for a human being. Because why possibly, if we go back and we study the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, is we are not focusing upon their spiritual needs. We are so much worried about their luxury salvation and not worried about their spiritual salvation. That doesn't mean that it's haram to earn a good living, to have wealth, to take care of your family, sadaqah begins at home, etc. But there needs to be a tawazun. There needs to be a balance. There needs to be an understanding that the more that we pamper our children, we pamper our family members, that this is going to be very, very detrimental upon the future of this Muslim ummah. Very difficult for this Muslim ummah that when it begins to face difficulties, that we're able to cope and live up to those difficulties. Fourthly, we find the sacrifice of one son. And we're not asking you to go and sacrifice your sons, but at least we can begin to program our children to become committed, to have a good cause, a good action, to make, to strengthen this ummah which is weakening more and more on a daily basis. That if those actions that we cannot do, we don't have that ability, we don't have that skill, we don't have that intellect, we don't have that ilm, that we begin to inbreed that within the following generation, that they don't become like us. Islam becomes a way of life that they deeply believe in, that wherever they go, they impress people with the teaching of Islam, with the teaching of the Quran, with the teaching of the Sunnah, and believe deeply in the foundations of Al-Islam. So we're not asking you to go now and physically sacrifice our sons or our children, etc. Likewise, other efforts that we find, the efforts of building the Kaaba. In general, alhamdulillah, we know we have many masajid inside this country. But how many institutes of learning? How many universities do we have, Muslim universities in this country? Zero. How many colleges do we have? Few pockets of some symbolic gesture that we find. So the Muslim journey continues as we began with, from one action to another action, to another action, to continuously trying to better this Muslim ummah, continuously striving and struggling. These outbursts and these zealous focus that we have for a day or 2 days, and we burn ourselves out, and then we go away. This is not the type of Islam that we want. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Or you believe, enter into Islam into total submission, and do not follow the footsteps of the devil. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you can. Don't become individuals who like to pick and choose. Well, this is easy for me to do, this is difficult for me to do, maybe I'll leave this at a later stage, maybe I'll come back to this. If it's time to pray, offer the prayer. If it's time for Taraweeh, it's time for Taraweeh. It's time to fast, time to fast. It's time to write down with a pen, write down with a pen. It's time to pick up the sword, it's time to pick up the sword. That's the life of the mu'min. It's always changing. That's what the ulama mentioned. If you want to remain upon istiqamah, one way of istiqamah is tanawwu' al-ibadat, is to change your ibadat. Not just become a person who just continuously reads the Qur'an, then fast, then pray, then read something, then study something. All of that becomes a whole spiritual dimension of strengthening the aqidah and the belief and the commitment and devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to really begin to think of our efforts in helping the wider society, in helping the Muslim society as well, of once again going back to those glorious years where Muslims did excel with their faith, with their iman, and even more so, their actions showing and impressing upon society that we are the real believers of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and then after that, the real believers in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And thus we find, as we mentioned, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Those individuals who strive in our path, we will show them our path. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the doers of good. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to place these words in a mizan of hasanat, give us all the tawfiq and ability to follow the manhaj, the methodology of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that which is in comparison, or that which is appropriate, or that which is relevant to that which the Prophet Muhammad came with. So we become those individuals who fulfill that ayah, wasbir kama sabara ulul azmi min ar-rusul, as we began with, be patient. Seek patience and assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be like those individuals who had that strong resolution, those people of ulul himma, strong, lofty goals and aspirations, what we want to become in following the way of the anbiya. And thus we find that the closest individual to the anbiya are those individuals who are tested like the anbiya. And the anbiya are tested the most, but the more a person is tested, the more they are tried, the more closer they become to the anbiya. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to return us back to be with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to drink from his fountain, from his blessed hands. وَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بَارَكَ اللَّهُ فِيكُمْ.
غُرَبَاءُ غُرَبَاءُ غُرَبَاءُ